So this week's Parsha, Vayechi, it has become customary that the Parsha of Vayechi is dedicated to talking about end-of-life planning, advanced healthcare planning, end-of-life issues and things like that. And there are a number of reasons for it. And I want to share, you know, my perspective on why that is. There's some great sources in this week's Parsha. I'll show you the sources now that are really classic. I mean, yeah, they're on this week's Parsha, but they're relevant year-round and so important and I think meaningful and just relevant for so many. So it spans the Parsha. There's a number of things, but it starts with, Yaakov gathering together his children at the end of his life. So it says, the Torah says, "Vayikruvu yemei Yisrael lamus." Jacob's time came to die. Vayikra levno Yosef. First, he called to his son Yosef. Yomer lo, and he said to him, "Imna mitzasichem beinecha. If I have found favor in your eyes, simna yadcha tachas yerechi. Put your hand on my thigh. Vasisa chesedim. Do with me chesed veemes. Do with me both chesed and emes." Al na tikbareini b'mitzrayim, and my first request is, do not bury me in Egypt. And he proceeds to give all of his sons their his last will and testament. First, starting with his request for chesed v'emes, you know, true chesed. And the Gemara comments on this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, actually, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and also. It's in Bava Metzia, Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and also in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. It's the exact same Gemara, repeated twice. And it's a fascinating Gemara. It's actually very relevant for so many things that come up in medical ethics and contemporary issues. So the Gemara says, really provocatively, it says, Ad Avraham lo haya zikna. Until Abraham, no one aged. People stayed the same age, the same appearance of age. Called the Chazil Avram Amr. Anyone who saw Avram said, Hayitzchak. Oh, that's Yitzchak. They look so similar and they're the same age. It's one thing for a father and son to look alike, but when they're also the same age, you can't distinguish them. And the idea is that Avram thought that was bad. Like, it's probably bad for Isaac in particular. You know, such a famous father to look identical wasn't in his best interest. So he says, Amar Hai Avram, Ba Avram Rachme. So Avram prayed to God, Til Havi Le Zikna, that he should actually start aging. Avram prayed to age. And that's why it says, Avram Zakein Baba Yamim, because it seems to be repetitive. Why was he Zakein and Baba Yamim? He was elderly and of many days. So he started aging. And then we have the concept of aging from Avram. So those who are not happy about aging, they have Avram to thank for that. But we have a whole industry working on it, reversing that anyways today. So then comes this week's Parsha. Then you come to Yitzchak. And then you come to, then Yaakov. So then it says, Ad Yaakov, lo havi, until...
Oh my God, I'm
doing Ad Yaakov, lo havi, chulsha. Until Yaakov, no one got sick. No one got sick until Yaakov. Ba rachmi v'havi chulsha. So he prayed for sickness. Shenemar v'yomer leYosef, as we just read, hine avicha chole, your father is sick. Now the question is, why would someone want to be sick? I mean, I understand why Avraham wanted to age. Because even though maybe that, you know, in our contemporary society, you would think that, why would you want to look older? But you could say, anyways, you know, becoming elderly, there's also, you know, wisdom and becoming an elder in society. But he wanted to distinguish himself and distinguish the generations. There's a lot to talk about there. But why did Yaakov want to be sick? Why would he pray for illness? So Rashi explains here, and we're going to see a whole midrash that explains it in more depth. But let's just start with Rashi. Rashi explains first in the Bava Metzia, he says, "Shiyech le'adam lifnei moto." That they would get sick before their death. What happened before is that someone would just suddenly die. They didn't get sick before dying, they just died. And Yaakov said, this isn't fair. It'd be better if someone would get sick first to have a warning that they're going to die. Why? He says here, Shiyecha la'adam lifnei moto v'yitzava lebeito. So they could give a last will and testament. So they could give their values to their family. Before they die, they should know they're dying. He explains differently in Sanhedrin, similarly, but in Sanhedrin, in that Gemara, he says, Kadeshe Panai, so they have free time, you know, like a retirement period, or like time that they're sick, Panai Levanov, Lavo, and that their family will see, oh, my father, my mother is very sick, now I better go be by their bedside. So they'll have time, Panai Levanov, Lavo, Kol Echad V'Echad Mimakomo, so, assuming people live in, you know, different places, they want to go be with their parent before they die. Liyosa love b'shas misa, they could be there when they die. She kivein shiroei shenafel lamita. That now that they see that their parent is deathly ill, yodin shiyamos, they know that they're going to die. Umiskamsin uvayim, they can gather around, they can gather together. And the Marsha says the same thing, but just adds here v'hu kedei levarich banav yitzav yotan. And then the parents and also the child, they can give like blessings. They can give each other a blessing before they die. But the idea is here that the Rashi is saying is that it's an opportunity for the person before they die to give over their living will, their ethical will, their desires, what they stand for, what they want, how they want to be remembered, their legacy. And if someone would just die suddenly, they wouldn't have that opportunity. So illness is a gift in that it allows someone to prepare for the end, which is a fascinating perspective. And then the truth is this happened throughout Jewish history. This value is taught to us by Yaakov, but you see it just as an example. We learn a lot from the death of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. In medical ethics, the death of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi becomes one of the most important stories of a death because, you know, that's when his maidservant smashes the jug to tell the students to stop praying for him to live because they needed to allow him to die. And you learn a lot of principles of medical ethics from his death. Another one that's in a different place but nearby, but the Gemara says also that when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was dying, it says, Tana Rabbanan, B'shas Petirasu Shel Rebbe, at the time of the death of Rebbe, Amar Livni Ani Tzarich, I need my children. Bring my children to me. Nichnasu Banav Letzvo, and why? Just show you real quick, the Shita Mikubetzas, the commentary there says, Livni Ani Tzarich, Shayet Tzarich Litzavit Et Banav. I need to give them my last will and testament. I need to tell them what I want. And he had particular, like, requests. He says, Amar Lahem, His hiru b'chvod imachem, be very careful with the honor of your mother. Maybe there were some reasons that he was concerned that they wouldn't be, whatever it was. Be honor your mother. Ner yehe dalot b'makomo, make sure that you always continue to light my lamp in its usual place. Shulchan yehe aruch b'makomo, have my table set in its place. Mita tehe motzes b'makomo, and have my table arranged in its normal way. Yosef Chofni, Shimon Efrati, and these rabbis all said, Heim Shimshoni Bechayai, they served me in my life, Heim Yishamshuni Bemosi, and they will also serve me in that way, in my death, by following my values, by keeping my values going. So anyways, I just wanted to mention that as a side point, that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did the same thing that Yaakov Avinu, that the great Jacob did before he died, by gathering his family, his children, around to tell them what are his values, what's his legacy, what would he like. But what's fascinating is the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer tells the same story about the death of Yaakov, but it adds details. And these details are really intriguing. It says as follows. Miyom shenivra olam lo haya adam choleh. Just like we said there before, and originally, from the creation of the world, people would not get sick. Ela b'chol makum shaya adam in bederech, in beshuk, wherever a person was, whether they're walking on the road, they're in the market, they would just va'atesh haita nafsho yotze. They would sneeze and die. Minichir v'meis. Their soul would go out of their nose and they would die. They would sneeze and suddenly die. Achaba Yaakov Avinu, until Jacob came, ubikesh rachmi mazos, and he prayed for mercy on this. V'amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said before God, Ribono shel Olam, God, al tikach et nafshi mimeni ad asher ani mitzavet beisi b'nei beisi. First, don't take my soul until I have a chance to tell my family what are my values, what's my blessing for each of them, what are my hopes for them, how do I want them to remember me, how should my estate be planned, you know, etc. Don't just take me with a sudden sneeze. V'netar lo, and God, He pleaded to God, Shenemar, Vahi Achrei HaDevrema El Ha'ela, Vayomer LeYosef, Hine Avicha Chole. That's why when he said to Joseph, your father is sick, I'm sick, this means that I'm going to die. They didn't know what it meant, because that wasn't a thing until Yaakov being sick and then gradually dying. V'shamo kol malchei ha'aretz v'tamei, and all, everyone was surprised. What's going on here? What's happening? He's sick and he's dying. That's what happened. V'shalo hayakamo miyom shenivra shamayim v'aretz. It never happened before that someone was able to prepare for their death, that they actually had time to like start to sort out their affairs, because people would just die suddenly in the past. L'fikach, and actually the midrash concludes, Chayev Adam Lomar Lechaveru B'Shasa Tishasav. That's why you have this concept that when someone sneezes, you should say to them, Chayim, life, like Gesundheit, right? Or all the other things we say today. You know, I know my father used to say, longer yirin in Yiddish to my kids. Longer yirin. Asa, longer yirin, have a long life. Sun Laban, you should be healthy. Shenefach Mavasa Olam Laor, that the death turned to light. But you see, and by the way, actually, there's a lot of things. We'll look at it in a second. But this was a thing. You actually find it in some history books, this idea that people died with a sneeze. And, just as a side point, anyone know the song? Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posy. What comes next? What's the next word in that song? Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posy.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Yeah, so that's not actually the ancient version of the song. It was, ring around a rosy, a pocket full of posy, achoo, achoo, we all fall down. That was because there was this idea that people would sneeze and die. And that's actually what that song was getting at. It's not a Jewish song, but it was what the Midrash here is talking about. You actually find such writings in ancient literature that people would die when they sneeze. That's why we have a blessing for sneezes, not just in Jewish culture, but you don't have those types of blessings for when other bodily functions happen, right? But sneezing was very scary. By the way, it makes a lot of sense why someone would die with a sneeze. The Torah Tamima has a great commentary here on this Midrash. It's actually on our Gemara that we just learned, but he quotes the Midrash, the Pirkei Eliezer. And first of all, he points out, he asks a good question. He says, why did he need to get sick to command his children? Meaning to tell his family what he wants. You don't have to be sick. Meaning we always are telling people, share your values and your preferences before it's too late. Right? Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till you're sick. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. And he points out that Yaakov is not the first one that we find in rabbinic literature that gave this command to his family. So he asks this question here. He says, "Da'inyan tzavos mitzino od kodem Yaakov." We have the concept of sharing your desires, your values with your family before Yaakov. Where? He says, the Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Gimel, says, "Chamisha devarim tziva Kanan et banav." The Kanan, the figure Kanan, way back in Bereishis, there was five things that he commanded his children before he died. Vigam kasha. Why? Also, dehat tzava efshar lasoto dene b'chayim uveshlemus b'riuso. A person can command their family when they're still healthy. So why does this Talmud say he needed to get sick in order to know he was going to die, in order to give his advanced directive to his family, his living will, his ethical will? He could have done that any time. The Inyan, who he argues, the Torah Tamima says, Mishum Dikfiha Nira Mipashus Haksuvim Rata Yaakov Avinu Lochiach Et Banav. He wanted to give them like musa, rebuke. And it says in the Midrash Rabbah, Umivor B'Sifri, and the Sifri says, Devarim She'em Mochichim Ela Samuch Lamisa. A parent should only give their child real rebuke before they die. Ulechein Ratzel Ladas Es Eto. Therefore, he wanted to know he was going to die so he could give them like sharp rebuke and not just his preferences. That's not how everyone reads that story, but I thought it's interesting. But more interesting is the Torah Tamima. What he points out is, what does sneezing have to do with dying? And what was that? What was that all about? What's the connection? And I thought it's brilliant, because what is living? What's life? How do we know we're alive? And he says, "Mevor shehayu meisim al yedei tisha." They died from sneezing. V'hainu, their soul would go out of their nose, as Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer said. So what's the connection? He says, "Ba'ofen shebalo." That's the same way our soul comes into us, right? As it says, "Ve'ipach ba'pav nishmat chayim." In Noach, and the truth is really in Bereishis, in the very beginning, God gives us our soul through our nose. God breathes our soul into us, and so that's how our soul leaves us, through the nose. That wasn't just trying to be cute and saying, oh, people sneeze and die. It was the symbolism was that just like our soul is infused into our body, as you can imagine, there must be some kind of like intense moment when the soul is infused into a body when a baby is born. So too, at that moment, the sneeze represented like the soul leaving the body, but that's the connection. That's why it's the nose. That's why the nose has significance. Spiritual significance is because the Torah tells us that through our nose, so to speak, through our breath, our soul came into our body. So too, our soul leaves our body through our nose. And that's why, L'cheina minha kesha adam otesh, and that's why when someone sneezes, omrim l'chaim u'l'shalom, that you would say you should have life and peace. Because that was considered a time of danger. And that's why Yaakov, he was scared that he would sneeze and suddenly die. And he said, I don't want to have that sudden death. Now I finally have my whole family together again. And this is the truth, I think is a simpler answer, why he didn't just command them earlier. He never had peace because he thought his son Yosef was missing and gone. And now he finally has his family all together, and he realizes, you know, he might die sometime soon. He wants to, and he needs to think, like, what do I want my legacy to be? How am I gonna, what am I gonna share with them? And so he prayed to God, give me a warning so that I can give them the proper blessing. Don't just take it from me. I need to, you know, compose myself and share my values with them. Of course, the message, though, is that we should always share before it's too late. But this is why illness came to the world, according to this statement in the Gemara and the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, so that, because it's so important for a parent to share their values with the next generation. By the way, just as a side point, before I share with you two other points, there's a number of phrases that can be said. You know, in Israel today, they say labriut when someone sneezes. The Shulchan Aruch mentions it. He says mishin istatesh, when someone sneezes, ein omrim lo refua. Don't say to them refuah, healing, the Beit Midrash, at a time when they're studying Torah, so you don't interrupt them. The Gemara elsewhere says you should say asuta. You should say asuta because asuta means like healing. That's why there's a hospital in Israel today called Asuta. The Magen Avram says mishin misatesh vechaveru amr le asuta yomer lo. Then when they say to you asuta, you're supposed to respond to them baruch tiyeh, bless you as well, vecharkach yomer, and then they say back to you, I am also giving you a blessing that for your salvation, they should give you you give them a blessing so that your blessing, the blessing that they gave you, will be answered. But the whole idea here is that every time you sneeze, you're supposed to be saying like, oh, it's a reminder of the fragility of life, that, you know, I'm going to die one day, that everyone's going to die one day. And so we say a prayer to keep living, but you also remember your mortality. And that leads me to the last points, and then I want to hear your reactions to all this. But if you go to the end of the Parsha, that was the beginning of the Parsha. Towards the beginning of the Parsha, you know, we had the first Pasuk that we read, you know, that V'yikravu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, that Israel, Yaakov was dying, V'yikra Livno LeYosef, and he called to Yosef, and he asked them to do with him Chesed Ve'emes. And then at the end of the Parsha, you have all of a sudden a very interesting comment. And this is not necessarily well known, but if you look at the Mefarshim carefully, the commentaries pick up on this. At the end, very, very end, when Yosef is asking the Egyptians to allow him to go and bury Yaakov back in Israel, in Eretz Canaan, he quotes his father in an interesting manner. He says to the Egyptians, Avi Hishbiani, my father made me swear, Lemor, to say, Hine Anochi Meis Bekivri, I'm going to die in the grave Asher Karisi Li, the common translation is that I prepared for myself. Asher Karisi Li Be'eretz Canaan, in Canaan, Shama Tikbarani, please bury me there. Now, Rashi says, though, what does Asher Karisi Li mean? What does it mean, I prepared it for myself? Rashi says, no, Pshuto Kmo, the simple understanding is, Ki yichra ish, when a person will dig, it means that I dug for myself. So not just that I prepared for myself, and the Ramban says the same thing. Ramban says, Zeu gam kein masha amar bekivri asher karisili shekavar kara lo kadosh baruch hu lachzik bo. That's the place that I dug. Now Ramban's talking about there because Esav wanted said he deserved to be the next son of Isaac that's buried in the Maris Machpelah in Hebron. And so Yaakov dug it himself to make a chazaka on it to say, no, this is mine. But the Malbim says something just absolutely fascinating. I thought it was so beautiful and incredible what the Malbim says. The Malbim, 19th century Ukrainian authority, fascinating commentary. So he says, what does it mean that Yaakov dug his own grave? He says, it was Shekevrezeh Karalo Bachayav. Yaakov dug his own grave in Hebron while he was alive. Vayazeh Etzlo La'os. And it was always to him a reminder, meaning to dig your grave while you're alive is a reminder, Tamid Yom Hamisa, to constantly remember the fragility of life, to remember the day of your death, to remember that one day you will die. It's based on a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chesamad Alf. It says, Shezechiras Yom Hamisa Me'oreres Esa Adam L'tshuva. Remembering that you're going to die one day helps the person to do the right things. You only have a limited amount of time to accomplish. And there's a Yom Adin. So he says, Kamosha Siper. And also, there is a story, Am Kadamon. This is from the Chovos HaLevavos, that there was an ancient nation, Shehaya Batehem Eitzel Kivrehem, that they buried their house, that they put their cemeteries right by their houses, and even their own gravesite, their own future gravesite, was next to their house as a reminder. I mean, it sounds morbid, but it was meant to be a reminder at all times that you're living in this house, one day you're going to be living in that house, so to speak, 6 feet under. And it's not meant to be morbid, it's meant to be a reminder to make the most of life, to do everything. In our society, we go into the other extreme. We try never to think about death. But there is a value in remembering sometimes that, it will happen. And there's a fragility in life. So anyways, just like they did that in an ancient town, Lizkor Yom Motam, and since Yaakov's burial plot was prepared, he prepared it while he was alive. His heart, his eyes were there all the time. He really wanted to be buried there so much. And that's why it was so important for him to be buried there. But it was an ethical, meaningful statement that he was saying. The reason why Yaakov created his own burial plot was because it made him a better person. It made him appreciate life and recognize that life is limited, our mortality. That's why, and this is really one of the primary sources for this concept that they say it's a segula for richas yamim. It's a charm for a long life to purchase one's burial plot while they're still alive. That is a thing that we have, that's for another time. We're not going into that right now, because right now I'm just focusing on this week's Parsha, but it did become a Jewish custom, so to speak. Now, I know not everyone does this, but it became a thing that if you purchase your burial plot when you're alive and young and healthy, that it will actually be a charm for long life. And the way I always understood that was that when it says arichas yamim, it doesn't necessarily mean actually that you'll live a lot in years, because that's arichas shanim. Arichas yamim means long days, meaning we appreciate our days more. We appreciate our life because we recognize we have a limited amount of time on this planet. We appreciate it more. And Yaakov, therefore, made the most of his life. And you see that. He made the most of his life. And then he said, when the time comes, though, for me to die, give me a warning. God, give me a warning. And then I want to be able to pass on my values and my message to the next generation. And it stuck. The values, it had an impact. Because we go to the very last verse in the Parsha, which is actually the very last verse in the book of Genesis, in the whole Bereishis, the very last verse, it comes then for Yosef to die. V'yamas Yosef ben Me'ah ve'esher shanim. Yosef dies at the age of 110 years. V'yamas Yosef ben Me'ah ve'esher shanim. Yosef was 110 years old. V'yichadnu oso v'yasim be'aron be'mitzrayim. So he then was embalmed. That's the v'yichad tuoto, that he was embalmed. V'yasim be'aron be'mitzrayim. And then he was placed into a coffin. And he died. By the way, it's just fascinating just to point out, this is the last verse in the book of Genesis, that you have this great man, this great person who led the Jewish people and did so much. He dies in an aron. He dies in a casket. And not too long, there's going to be another casket, right? There's imagery, symbolism here, that there's going to be a baby who's going to be saved in an aron, in a, you know, in that, and that's going to be Moshe. So there's just a connection, that the connection. Anyways, but what so he's placed in Aron, the Yasim ba'Aron b'Mitzrayim. He's put in Aron. So the Ibn Ezra, classic Rishon commentary, says, why does it say Aron b'kamatzos, b'kamatz, ba'Aron? Shouldn't it have said he's placed be'Aron? He's put into his, he was put into his coffin. Why ba'Aron? That implies that it's like the Aron, like certainly there was something special about that casket, that Aron. He says, Ibn Ezra says, "Hu shehechin lenafsho." He prepared his own casket. Yosef actually built his casket. He knew he wasn't going to be buried there long term, so he couldn't dig his burial plot in Egypt, but he could at least prepare his casket. So according to Ibn Ezra, Yosef actually really imbibed that message of Yaakov's, of prepare for the next generation, prepare for the future, think about the end, think about your legacy, think about where you're going. And so he did. And he built his own casket for himself before he died. And that was his method of thinking about the future and having a sense of the reality of that, of his future demise. So it's a profound message. There's so much to say about this topic throughout all of Jewish literature, but I just wanted to emphasize for this study session today its resonance in this week's Parsha. That from the very beginning, the theme of the Parsha, you know, is Yaakov's last will and testimony to his sons, his sense of giving over that sort of living will to his children, which he does when he gathers them all around, but that he prayed to get sick before he would die so that he would have the opportunity to share that blessing with his children, to tell them what he wants, to give over his legacy and share his values, just like the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did before he died. And we saw that this was connected to the sneeze. That used to be that one would just sneeze and die, but it changed when Yaakov prayed for nature to change. But still, a sneeze should be a reminder in our lives today of the fragility of life and our mortality, and that we should always, you know, live life to its fullest because we only have so many years on this planet, and we should make the most of them. And that's why Yaakov also literally dug his burial plot, and the great Yosef after him did the same thing to the extent possible. And it was a message to show this wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just Yaakov. And we have this, you know, throughout. You have the great stories of David, you know, sharing with Shlomo what he wanted for the future. So there's many, but I just wanted to share a sampling today in the theme for the sake of Parshas Vayechi. But in that merit, may we all have Arichas Yamim Vishonim, long, healthy years of Bracha Vatzlacha, blessing and health and happiness. You start Bereshis with the breath being blown into your nostrils. You end Bereshis with the breath leaving your nostrils. It's a reminder, like we're created to live life to its fullest, but it does end. It does come to an end. And so the breath that came into our nostrils in the beginning of the Sefer is now leaving at the end of the Sefer. Yeah.
That's really, seems really
interesting,
powerful.
Right? You're saying like the whole book is a book of creation, and this is, they're creating. I mean, because like, it's interesting, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to argue that what it means to be created in the image of God is humans' creative ability. So we were created, right? We're created with the breath being blown into our nostrils, and literally you have Yaakov creating a legacy as he dies, and the breath is taken out of his nostrils. So it's like you're created as humans, and now you're told, now you create the world. You create who you are and what's going to happen after. Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that a lot. Yeah, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.